right. Thank you for that. We've been going through our discipleship series, and we'll continue that tonight. And I got to thank you again. Over the course of the last little over March, April, May, 15 months, all that we've went through, I think it was about a year ago this time that they actually started letting us go back in the building for the first time, if I'm not mistaken. And we had all those different services, and they were, the only thing I remember about when we had those services, and we had four morning services and all that stuff, all I remember is between the third and the fourth service, Brother Chim would make us lunch. And Brother Chim, and he, you know, it's like, you could just make, you know, Brother Chim, it's like restaurant quality, so it's like, I didn't really come for church, I came for the food. So, and then we got to go outside. We need to put a booklet together of some of the things we did. Remember the live stream and standing there and Jeremy's counting down? You didn't know what we were doing up until when the live stream started. It's like, welcome to Pacific Baptist Church. If you were in the auditorium before then, you would have not, we weren't acting like that. So, but it's glad to be, see the doors opening. See people getting more comfortable now. And so people now that were fearful are ready to come to church, and our community's open and opportunity just to get out there and get the work done. We've missed the buses. We've had brand new buses now since December. And they look so good. But you know, they actually drive. We just haven't driven them yet. So we're ready to get those things going. Sunday school, the whole nine yards. And so I'm ready to put this behind us, and let's get after it. We are in chapter 6. We're talking about membership. Of course, on Sunday, it ties in a little bit to the message on Sunday where we talked a little bit about church. But we're talking specifically about membership. And of course, this is our discipleship book following after. And so we'll start right at the beginning. If you don't have a book, you can get one later. I know we're halfway through it, but membership. We're calling this signing on. First paragraph there says, many people are confused about church. That hasn't changed. Many, more often than not, when church comes to mind, most people think of a building, don't they? When you say, hey, I go to Pacific Baptist Church, if you say that in the community, a lot of people, especially in our area here, we've been here long enough now, say, oh yeah, you're over here at that corner, you built that new building over there. They associate us with a building. Some think about a meeting on a specific time or day, usually Sunday morning. But the church is more than just a place to meet or a time to meet. Nothing is more important to a Christian than faithfully attending church. Of course, I'm not belaboring it. If you were here on Sunday morning, you heard all about that. You can't replace that. It is so vitally important for a Christian to be a part of a church. Continuing, to help us avoid any confusion, we are going to answer several key questions about church. If church is vitally important to the Christian life, then it is vitally important that we understand it and our relationship to it. Now, you don't have to come to church to be a Christian. We don't believe in works. But I will say this. If you don't come to church, you will never be a dynamic Christian. I have never met a Christian, dynamic, on fire for God, serving the Lord, fulfilling God's purposes, that didn't have a church that they were a part of. It's just hard to do it. We often say, you know, there's low lone soldier, lone ranger Christians. Well, Lone Ranger wasn't a lone ranger. Okay, he had Tonto. But even if he did, there isn't that. We need each other, and that's part of the church. Last Sunday morning, we talked about that. And over the course of the last year, Corona has created some things. It's created complacency. You know, being away, it's easier to be away. Look, you know. If I get up in the morning and I'm coming to church and I drive through my neighborhood and I see somebody, they don't carry the Sunday paper anymore, but you know, used to be they're walking down the street and they got a cup of coffee and they got the Sunday paper and they got their bunny slippers on, you know, and they're going into the house. And I didn't think, you know, how horrible of that. Well, I'm thinking, that looks like a really good idea. Okay, and we kind of got used to that at home, right? You can get up at the last minute and, you know, you can wear whatever and just be in front of the television. But so there's been a little bit of a complacency. It has flattened our faithfulness. You know, it's easier to become a worship service watcher than to be in our place. And that cripples our commitment. We choose convenience over that. And by the way, when you don't come to church, it eliminates encouragement. Okay? You can hear something on television or you know, whatever, but there's nothing like talking to a person one-on-one. Someone saying, hey, how you doing? Or hey, I'm going through a tough time. Richard's going through a tough time again. You know, I'm trying to get this new job, and I'm taking these tests, or this or that, or I'm not, you know, so somebody in my family's sick. It's like, hey, let me pray for them. What can we do to help you? Okay, and that's very important. It's killed our service. Because to be honest with you, we've got used to doing, not the staff, because we've always been doing nothing, but you get used to doing nothing. You just, you know, we didn't need a nursery. You know who the nursery was? You, trying to keep the kids tied up on the couch. And all the different things there. But now we have that getting started. We've been disconnected. If I've heard anything over the course, and I'm not hearing it now, but you know, people saying, hey, you know, I just feel like I'm disconnected from the church. Yep. I'm like, you know, now fortunately I was able to be here and work every day with the staff, but I'm like, I get it. If you're not at church, you are going to feel disconnected. There's only so much we could do. We did everything we could. Remember the first few Sundays, we're like, okay, text us your pictures to let us know you're watching, and we would show them on the screen. How many remember that? I still have 12,000 pictures on my phone. As soon as the service is over, I'm getting home. My phone's like, bzz, 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 bzz. Everybody's sending me their pictures. And by the way, I did appreciate you showing me your cups of coffee and your breakfast burritos and all that stuff that I did not get, okay? But that's where we were at. But now we can be together and we can be connected. It's very important. So let me answer some questions for you. Why is church important? The word church means a called out assembly. And some of this dovetails off of Sunday, so I won't, and I wrote the book way before Sunday. We will see that as Christians, we have been commanded by God to assemble together on a regular basis in a specific place to fulfill his purpose in this world. There's three thoughts there. We are to assemble on a regular basis. In other words, it's got to be the priority. You say, well, you're the pastor. You have to be here. Okay? Yeah, that's true. But can I just tell you something? I was here long before I was ever a pastor. I was going to church when I was just a Christian. Now, that's a small thing. You know, when I wasn't a staff, I love church. And I love to be there. And I found excuses to be there. I was a young man, 17 years old, and I didn't have schooling anymore. And I had free time on my hand, and I just found reasons to be at the church. I just like to hang around there. But it was a priority in my life. A specific place. That means it's personal. Your church. This is your church. Your church, your friends, your church family. Amen. And we're to fulfill a purpose to get the gospel to this world and encourage one another. A church is a local assembly of believers that meets with the specific purpose of fulfilling God's will in their lives and doing God's work in this world. Okay? You know, God wants you to follow his will. Now, we understand it. We know it backwards. God's will is in his word. That's why we preach from the Bible. We're not going to give your little philosophies or whatever, because I can tell you what I think we should do, but it's got to be tied to the scripture, because I know if the scripture says to do something, that's God's will for my life. Yep. I can't argue it. I've had people come up past like, you know, there's this thing I'm thinking of doing, and I've prayed about it, and I have peace. I'm like, you can pray all you want. The Bible says don't do it. Okay, so we find God's will, but we also are to do God's work. God wants us to get the gospel. God wants us to be a place where people are hurting and families that are being destroyed and all that nonsense, people that are chained to their sin. There has to be a place where they can come and find Jesus Christ. Amen. And find the power that God has. Now, we understand that the church is local, which means it is an assembly of believers. So if you're not assembling, you're not a church. An assembly, how many remember when you were, when I was in school, public school, for the time I was there, they would have assemblies. I remember those, right? Like they just figure something out and say, hey, there's an assembly today. And everybody would go to the whatever they called it, the big room. Some, not gym, the other one? Multi-purpose? How about pizza? Okay, let's just throw a word. No, yeah, multi-gym. It's just the big room. It probably didn't have a name. It wasn't an auditorium, right? Maybe, but and we'd all go in there, and they'd either show you some goofy stuff, or there was a reason, but it was an assembly because we all got together. They didn't say, okay, we're having an assembly. Everybody go home, just do what you want. No. We got together. That's what assembly means. You assemble together. You buy something and it says, some assembly required. That means all those pieces got to be put together. God wants us to assemble as a church, to be together. And that's what the word means. So when people say, well, I'm part of this universal church that's made up of everybody who's saved. Well, that is true, but it's also false. There will be a time, as I mentioned on Sunday, that we will be a universal church. You know when that is? When we get to heaven. Because we'll all be assembled in the same place. Until then, we're not universal. Some people, by the way, if you want to know, just the epistles in the New Testament were written to churches. The church at Ephesus, the church at, and then you go to the book of Revelation, and there was letters written to seven churches. Actually, the book of Revelation was sent to those seven churches. Some people, they like to give it this name. How many of you ever heard that? We're called the invisible church. How many of you ever heard that? What is that, like Casper Baptist Church, something like that? You can't see it? People like invisible church because they can give invisible attendance. They can give invisible tithes. They can give invisible service and all these different things. They give invisible commitment and invisible blessing. But God wants us to be at church. It's local. And the church is just logical. So let's look at why is the church important? Let me give you some of the thoughts in that section. First of all, because Jesus gave himself for the church. Without Jesus' willingness to sacrifice himself and die on the cross for our sins, there wouldn't be a church for us to join. There wouldn't. Jesus sacrificed. Look at Ephesians there, the verses in your book. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Okay, I want to get married. Okay, you might want to read that verse and reconsider. No, I'm kidding. That's heavy. It's a responsibility. And we try to get as close as we can. But he did that, and he's given the parallel there to teach us that just how much we're supposed to love our wives, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that he should be holy and without blemish. Love is always connected to sacrifice. Yep. It is. Jesus loved him, loved the church so much, he sacrificed himself for it. I used to tell this story around Christmas time. I don't think I've told it for a while, but if you'll look in your songbooks, there's a lot of good hymns written by, I think it's P.P. Bliss. And he was a great songwriter and a Christian and a preacher of the last part of the 1800s. And it was Christmas time at that time, and I don't remember if he was either traveling to Chicago to preach for D.L. Moody, or he had just left Chicago on a train after preaching for D.L. Moody. He may have been going home. And train travel was relatively safe, except in those days, they did have, one of the dangers of train travel was the bridges could collapse. And so as they were traveling home, somewhere I believe near Cleveland, one of the bridges gave out and the train went down into a ravine. Well, P.B. Bliss was able to free himself. The train had caught fire. But he went back and his wife was there and she was trapped. And he tried and he tried and he tried to get her free, and he just couldn't get her free. And he chose to die with her rather than to leave her alone. Now that's love. Yep. By the way, if you want to really get convicted, that's the kind of love we're supposed to have for our wives. So stay away from trains, okay? But that's love. You would never question that man's love for his wife, would you? Yep. Nope. He loved that woman. That's how much Jesus loved us. Jesus, look, when we say, Jesus died for the sins of the world, okay, stop for a second. God is a holy God. Yeah. He hates sin. Yeah. So for Jesus Christ to take that sin upon himself, it's not just about dying. That's a big deal. Yeah. Sin was repulsive to him. And yet he was willing to sacrifice for us, but primarily for the church. Church was just part of his plan for us after we get saved. Amen. That's why he was willing to sacrifice himself for it. That's why I get a little, I'm not saying upset, but a little irritated when people try to downplay church. I'm not just talking about our church. I'm talking about church in general. Yeah. Like it's not a big deal. No, it's a big deal. Yeah. If Jesus is on board with it, I'm on board with it. Yeah. And so it's very important. Love is great, but without sacrifice, it accomplishes little. So if the church was a big deal to Jesus Christ, ought it not to be a big deal to us? If Jesus loves the church, shouldn't we love the church? Jesus gave himself for the church, therefore we should be giving of ourselves to the church. Let's be in on what it is. And you can always find bad stories. You can always find, the person, I went to this church and that person was mean to me or whatever. I get it, because sometimes Christians are goofy. Sometimes people you hear a story of a pastor and he runs off with his secretary or something. We met a girl years ago when we started the church. Pastor and I were having a meeting about the church at the Denny's downtown, and this girl was waiting on us, and she kind of figured out we were Christians and asked about it. Said, we just started a church. Pastor Esposito, I'm pastor, blah blah blah, and she told us a story. She goes, I used to go to church. I don't go anymore. And she went to a Baptist church, Fundamental Baptist Church. She I believe, if I'm not mistaken, she went to the same college we went to. It's like, what happened? She said, I was working at a church, and the pastor ran off with somebody. And she was very disappointed. By the way, I don't blame her for being disappointed. But although he may have let her down, Jesus never let her down. Amen. And so let's love the church because Jesus loves the church. Next, because God commands us to faithfully attend. Most Christians, and again, some of this is repetition, and it's not on purpose, it is what it is. Most Christians see church as one of the many options on their weekend schedule, right? Not as a Christian obligation. What are you doing? And you work somewhere, and if you work with a bunch of non-Christians, they're going to start saying on Friday, what are you guys doing this weekend? And they'll, I'm going to go do this. We're going to air show. We're going to do this other things. And it's like, but for us, we see that, hey, on Sundays, I want to be in my place at church. That's a big deal. It's one of those things that we do not find time for. We make time for it, right? Things that are important. If our children are important to us, what do? We make time for them. If our spouses are important to us, what do? We make time for each other, okay? If your parents are important to you, you make time for them. Well, if Jesus is important, we make time for him. If his church is important, then we make time for that. Just like if we read our Bibles, if it's an important thing to do, we make time for it. We can always make time. It's like they say with desserts, right? They say you'll sit there. My wife and I took her out last night. We went to a better quality of restaurant than we typically go to. We typically go to Taco Bell. And it's like value menu feast, okay? We used to take our kids. We had all seven of them. You go to Taco Bell, it's like $75. It's like, all right, wait, back away. No designer food tonight. Okay, we're going to get the value menu. But we went to a nicer restaurant, and the food was good. I was full, and she said she was full. And then she's like, I'm going to ask that guy for a dessert menu. It's amazing. No matter how full you are, if you hear the word dessert, and I was full, by the way. That was a good Italian restaurant. My daughter told me about it. And I was like, man, I can't eat anything else. And I'm like, let me see the menu. Okay, and then they had this thing called, ready? This is my new addiction, butter cake. Just saying the word makes me happy. How many of you know what that is? Man, if you put the right kind of cream on that thing, it's like you'll speak in a language you never even knew. I'm telling you, it's good. But anyhow, but if you say dessert, your kids are the tail. I'm full. Oh, you want a candy bar? Yeah, I think I could squeeze that in. Okay, that's how church ought to, I know I got these things, but it's important to me. I'm going to make time for it, okay? You guys are all hungry now, right? We'll be out of church in 10 minutes, and you can go wherever you want. Bible makes it clear that Jesus or God expects Christians to be a faithful part of the church. We won't belabor it. We already read it. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Forsaking. The word forsaking means, are you ready? Abandoning. I don't understand how a father could abandon his children. I say this jokingly. It is jokingly because my wife and I get along great most of the week. But if we were having issues, I would stick it out just because for my children. Okay? And now I'd stick it out for the grandchildren, so I'm stuck for the rest of my life. But it's funny, you know what, our society has changed in the last 15 years, 20 years. Now it's women that will abandon their children. I don't understand that. But it's we look at that like, how could anybody abandon their children? We abandon church when we forsake it. Not just a word that kind of slaps you upside the head. We are to come to church not when it's convenient. It ought to be a conviction. Next. Oh, let me say this. Can we say this? Because summer's coming. Be faithful to church in the summer.
Amen.
Okay? Be faithful to church. You say, well, I'm going to, you know, we'll just kind of, look, there are no vacations from God. And don't teach your children that. And by the way, we went to a church a couple years ago, and we're conservative, you know it. And there was one church, it was in Newport, Oregon, and we had been there before, and it was about 25 minutes away because we were heading that way. But, you know, you get a little lazy. It's like 3 miles down the road was a church, and it said Fundamental Independent Baptist Church. I went to their website. I'm like, all right, that's like 5 minutes away. That'll work. That's better. And we went there, and Sunday school's a little different, but it was okay. And then when the service started, we were outside. We came in. It's like, yeah, it was not okay. They were doing some goofy stuff. And then Ryan's getting his phone. This is lit, you know, and all that stuff. I'm like, okay, here we go. So, but we go to church, okay? There's been a couple times we've been in a place. We went to I used to be church wherever. There was supposed to be a church there. I checked it up online. It did not exist. And so that time had to do live stream. There was nothing nearby. It was a small town on the shores of Washington State. But we planted around. And by the way, I get excited about that. Not, you know, as excited about being here, but I like to visit other churches, talk to other people, and how's it going? I enjoy it. I really do. Anyhow, let's move on. Next, because God has a primary goal for the church. The church is important because God has a primary goal for the church. The church is the starting point for getting the good news of the gospel to their area and to the rest of the world through missions. We know these verses well, but so often we let the verses we know well, we know them so well, we kind of forget just how important they are. But ye shall receive power. Verse 8, Jesus is gone. He's off, he's resurrected, he's done. He's being taken to heaven, and here's what he's going to leave before he goes. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both. We understand that means simultaneously. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. I think he's trying to say this. He expects us to get the gospel out to everybody.
Yep.
That's our responsibility. It's our job. It's our purpose. If this church isn't about the gospel, let's shut it down and let's go watch someone else's live stream and wear our bunny slippers. Okay? We're not fulfilling God's purpose. If we're not seeing people saved, we're not getting the gospel out, we're not a church. We're not fulfilling that purpose. That's what we got to do. And maybe some of it's out of our control. I get it. And we tried that whole, during the middle of COVID when everything was first bad, we did the online witnessing deal or whatever that was. Remember that? My wife and I did the video shoot in our living room, you know, and hey, how you doing tonight? We weren't wearing shoes because you could always see that. But, you know, it's like, hey, let's contact our friends on social media, text people, email, call. And we were trying to do whatever we can. Listen, we don't have to do that anymore. And we haven't been able to do it for a while. This church is about getting people saved. This church is about getting the gospel out. That's what's important. We want people's eternity to be changed. Matthew chapter 28. Says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. See, God has commanded the propagation of the gospel comes through Christians. And Christians do it as they do it through their church. Look, there's not somebody out there on fire for God sharing the gospel that's not a part of a church. It's not happening. Yeah. We're encouraged when we go out together. You know, they say, it used to be the Warriors mantra, strength in numbers, okay? And there is. And by the way, let me just pull over and let's do a plug. You need to sign up for Summer Saturation. You say, I don't know how to talk to people. You go with someone else. We're going to flood this area with those gifts, and if they'll talk to us, we'll talk to them. If not, we left an invitation and we left a gospel witness in their hand. Okay, but we're supposed to do that. If someone texts my wife and like, what do you do to get new people? How do you get them out? Well, here's what you do. You have a time at the church when the church goes out, and if someone doesn't know, they'll go with somebody who does know. We'll learn how to talk to people. The first church I was at, we made a mistake. My brother-in-law and I showed up on it. They had theirs on Thursday night. We went out. And we didn't think it was important enough for us to actually get paired with somebody that knows what they're doing. We kind of just stood off to the side, and it's like everybody was gone. It's like, I guess we're going out. And when we went to one house, I didn't know what to say. So he talked. And he definitely did not know what to say. He said some goofy stuff. He told them, yeah, our pastor thinks everything is sin. I'm like, okay, that's helpful. But we figured it out on our own. Now, after we went in there, it's like we got someone to go out with. The first time I went, I went assistant pastor and go down with others. But listen, we got to get it out. You say I can't. By the way, did you notice a nice new track rack out there? Man, we are so high class now. Grab a few. Now, don't put them in your purse, girls. Don't put them in your purse. They get ruined. Grab a couple of them and just have them with you. And when you see somebody, give them an invitation. You go out to eat or whatever. Just have some and give those out to people. And you'll get the opportunity. If you don't know how to do it, come with us. We'll figure it. We'll show it to you. But it's vitally important. That's what the church has to do. We have to get out. It's not really. If it's not a core value of the church. It's not going to be a core value in your life, in my life. And so that's a big deal. We're supposed to go out there. We're supposed to be a place for new converts to come in and they can get the gospel. Why? That's why we give an invitation every Sunday morning. Why? Visitors come. I'm not going to let them get out of here without trying to get them talked to. Okay? And so that's important. The church will motivate, inspire, and teach you to do that. You say, well, you guys are the staff. It's your job to do it. Let me just say this. It is. But it's not because I'm a staff member or a pastor. It's my job because I'm a Christian. And I went soul winning long before I worked in a church. And if I ever quit working at a church, I'll still be going out. Because I'm a Christian. And I don't just do things because I'm a pastor. I think we'll stop there for tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful for your love, and we're grateful for your great love for the church. I can honestly say, Lord, and you know it's true, that the church has been one of the biggest blessings in my life. I enjoy being here. I look forward to being here. Always have. I pray, Father, you'd help us to have a love for the church. May we start to have a love for the church like you have for the church. May we have a love for each other. May we have a love for our community and those who do not know you. May we have a love for this world to get the gospel out. Help us to be that type of church and continue to be that type of church. Be with us until we meet together again on Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.